we didn't give up on those dreams, but actually we really needed to go through this process to grow into the kind of person that can hold the energy for the original dreams. Hello and welcome to another episode of Goddess Hangs.
Episode 112.
Woohoo! 112. We made it.
We've done it. Again.
112. Again. The girls are back. I'm Sadie.
And I'm Juliet, obviously.
Obviously. And we created the Goddess Hangs podcast to inspire you to live magically.
Ooh.
And we have a really fun episode planned today. We've been having a lot of like full circle moments lately, sort of coming back to where it all began. So we're going to give you a little, we've talked a lot about our journey since we started the podcast, but we haven't shared that much about before we met each other, what we were manifesting back then, and how we're kind of coming back to those big dreams we had a long, long time ago. It's going to be fun. But before we dive into that, Juliet, what's new with you?
Earthquake!
Ah! I'm so sad I missed it. I love earthquakes. As long as they're not too bad and they don't hurt anybody, of course.
Have you been in a big one?
Like pretty big, but not like big enough that anyone got hurt.
Oh, okay. So I remember being a little kid in the 94 earthquake, and it was horrifying.
Yeah, no, I don't want a big earthquake. I like the little ones, but that you can feel them, you know?
So it was 2 a.m. I was, of course, wide awake, and Victor was asleep next to me, and it starts happening, and it was really like quite intense. And I start hitting him. I'm like, earthquake, 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 earthquake. He's like, stop punching me, stop punching me. And so I was then terrified for the rest of the night. And I was like, I bet that was like a, you know, everybody, there's two things you do when you live in LA. Number one, you check Twitter. You want to make sure that other people felt it. It's a very communal experience.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is you guess. You're like, oh, I wonder how big that one was. And so my guess was 4.6 because it was big. It was quick, but it was big. Mm-hmm. And it was a 4.2, 10 miles south of Malibu in the water. Mm. So that was fun. Then there was a little baby aftershock. And poor sweetie girl. I went to get her this morning. She had like, I think stress, like pulled out two of her biggest feathers. I was like, you poor thing. I'm so sorry. If I could control the movement of the earth, I would. Anything for you. So she's been a little rattled today, but you know, then my sister, my dad, my mom and I were texting until like 3 a.m. because we're all like night owls. So it was kind of cute in that sense, but everything's okay. Nothing fell over. Good. It just was loud and felt like, you know, a semi truck hitting your home and then it passed.
Yeah. I just, you know, we don't have earthquakes. Oops, I keep hitting my desk. It's making the whole camera shake. We don't have any earthquakes in Wisconsin. So when I experienced my first one, it was so thrilling. And I've only had ones that are like big enough to feel, but not too big where they're like really scary. You know, thankfully, knock on wood, that's all I ever experienced. So they're kind of like, you know, thrilling. You're like, oh my God, like I didn't grow up with this being like an option that it would ever happen.
You had the tornado warning, the storm warnings and the sirens.
Yeah, we have tornadoes a little bit, but it's just kind of, yeah, it's just sort of surreal feeling, you know, just like feeling the earth move and like things swaying and moving and yeah, it's just a interesting feeling, but I'm glad it wasn't so strong that anybody got hurt. So
no, it was fine. It was fine. I think I've told you the story about how one time there was an earthquake, probably even smaller than this. And my grandma, instead of calling us to tell us what happened or ask if we were okay, she called the news and they put her on. Did I tell you this?
I feel like this sounds familiar, but please reshare this with us.
Okay. So my grandma who, to even find out, she must have dialed the operator. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't even know how she got through to the news.
Put me on with Channel 7.
Let alone that they put her on. It was an earthquake with no damage, no injuries. It was on St. Patrick's Day, like maybe 10 years ago. It shouldn't have even been news, really. It was just like, they put my grandma on. And we had the news on because, again, you put on channel whatever when there's an earthquake, like, oh, wow, like what? And I'm like, Mom, get in here. And it's my grandma's name across the screen. It's her voice. And she's talking in depth about how it rattled the shelves of her miniature shoe collection and the cabinet is like all in shambles. And then people thought it was so funny that Jimmy Kimmel reached out and was like, please, Doreen, like, we have to have you on the show. This is hysterical. We'll come to you, because she's a total hermit. And she's like, no, 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 I'm not doing that. But she's like, it shook and I flew out of my bed. And they're like, well, you got to make sure you don't have any heavy pictures hanging above the bed. And she goes, oh, yes, when my husband gets home, he'll take that artwork down. That artwork stayed there for another 9 years. But yeah, that's her little claim to fame. And my longtime childhood best friend, Sydney, her mom heard it and was like, isn't that Juliet's grandmother? And Sydney's like, Mom, you don't know what you're talking about. But it was. We're like, why wouldn't she call us? Why would she somehow call into the news? And as she kept talking, the look of regret on these news anchors' face of like, why did we put this woman? She has nothing of newsworthy importance to share.
Okay, well, now we know from now on, when there's some sort of thing happening in LA and we have some small part of it, we call the news because we want to get on the news. We want to get on Jimmy Kimmel.
I know. Did I tell you like a month ago, like I was trying to put gas in my car and I hear like heels clicking and it's this woman. Yeah. And she's like, can I interview you? I was like, no.
No thanks.
I couldn't have looked worse. I was like, what am I going to say? Yes, the gas prices are high.
Boy, aren't they high?
Yeah, I still have to get somewhere. So I guess that's where the money's going. Like, it's anyways. So we had an earthquake. I did some little crafts. Would you like to see my crafts?
Yes, of
course. Called Works of Heart. So this one. It's four red hearts. I'm going to give this to my mother. On a string, and I thought of you. I went to Michael's. I got glitter paint.
Are those cutouts from the dollar store? They look like the style ones I was getting. Oh my god, so cute!
And then
I miss painting stuff.
Little gems on them, which was so fun. And then I have one that is multicolored. It looks like candy hearts, conversation hearts. And this one I might keep because it's so cute.
So cute. So fun. I didn't bring all my crafts with me. I brought like my one like sketchbook and my watercolors, but it's not the same. I'm just not a watercolor girly. It doesn't pack a strong enough acrylic punch for me.
Acrylic lady.
Yeah, I miss my acrylics, but it just would have been bananas to pack all my 10 pounds of stuff. I miss it, though. But alas, on to different things. I'll be back.
So let's see. Crafting, shaking. At like 1 a.m, I totally reorganized our kitchen. Had my second wind and did that. And I've just been having so much fun, like getting creative, making TikToks. I posted a very funny one on our Goddess Hangs page before popping on here. Maybe you've seen it or you will see it. But
I didn't see it yet.
So make sure if you're listening, you're following us on TikTok at Goddess Hangs. We have so much fun over there. And honestly, I'm drawing a blank. The earthquake really shook me up. And then my neighbors, who it's like living under a bowling alley between like 7 and 8:30 in the morning, and then it's quiet all day, thank goodness. But they must have dropped like a 12-pound suitcase or something, just like an anvil, maybe. I don't know. They dropped something so loudly.
A cartoon.
A piano. And so I think because I was still in shock from the earthquake, I woke up gasping. And then I was like, oh no, it's okay. It's okay. They're just being the worst. So
I just have this image of like Roger and Jessica Rabbit living above you. And I feel like that would explain all of the sexy time noises too.
Oh my God. It's been really quiet for a long time. And then last Friday they like could not contain it. And then they were late for work. So it was like the loudest finish of life, and then putting on the boots and the heels and running, and they were like running through the house. Oh no, I forgot this. Running back. I was like, is this real? Is this really happening? But oh, here's some tea. So last month there was an HOA meeting, and I've never gone to the HOA meeting. This is so suburban of me. So last month there was an HOA meeting, and this is a building of like very old conservative people who've lived here since, you know, earthquakes and floods, and, you know, their HOA money, they really dedicate towards like, it goes to the gardener, the pool person, if a pipe breaks or if there's an emergency. Like, they're not really about beautifying the building. It's a nice building, but it's not like, you know, that's not the priority, nor does it need to be, you know? And so, he had put on the docket, like, he wanted to present touch-ups around the building. Did I tell you this?
Mm-mm.
Oh, this is kind of funny. So, building tea. So I'm like, oh, you know what? That's kind of nice. Like, that's redeeming. He wants, like, to do some touch-ups. You know, maybe there's, like, places where we could, like, clean the carpet or the paint is kind of gross or whatever. Apparently, he wanted everybody to pay $10,000 to hire his daughter to redesign the lobby, which you could redesign the lobby for like $500 at IKEA. Like, there's no need for 10 grand. And our good friend who lives in the building, who's also on the board, like tore him in half and was like, are you out of your mind? Like, we're not doing that. And so me and Victor are like, we are sitting in on the next meeting. Like, it's too juicy. We're going to go and I will report back. I'll let you know how it goes. We don't even own, but we're like, we're here. And that's what's new with me. What's new with you?
Wow. Well, not that much, but I wanted to share So last week with the psychic circle, we did with the psychic circle, we do two live calls a month, and one of them's a masterclass style. And then one of them's what we call like a practice session, which is more experiential, where we're, you know, leading you through certain meditations, through tapping into your clairs, developing these skills. Cause of course it's one thing to learn about, but it's a whole nother thing to learn how to like actually use the skills and how they can be useful in your life. And so this, if you want to catch these replays, you can join the psychic circle. The link's in the show notes, by the way, if this sounds really cool. And we always hear feedback that the replays are so powerful. So definitely go check that out. The masterclass this month was how mediumship works. And everyone was like, oh my God, this was like the best masterclass ever. So that was super fun. But this past week, we did a meet your spirit guides practice session or experience. And so Juliet led this meditation. And I've talked about my spirit team before on the podcast. I have like three spirit guides that I feel like have always been with me and I, you know, keep in touch with regularly. And then I have a deity I work with. And then I've had like other energies sort of like come and go. You know, like working with their energy, like short term. And so we're doing this Meet Your Spirit Guides meditation that Juliet's leading. And so great, by the way. And so we're like going down the staircase and we're going, and I'm picturing myself sort of seated at this round table with like my guides all sitting around it. And there's, you know, the usual people there that feel really familiar. There's the deity I work with that feels really familiar. I'm feeling all this energy really strongly. I connect with it regularly. So it's really easy for me to tap into that. But then I see this new masculine energy next to the deity I work with. And to me, he's sort of like changing how he looks as I'm looking at him, sort of like almost shape-shifting, which is really interesting. And I'm just like, who is that? So I'm just trying to hold into the energy, not get too into the ego, but sort of the like true form, or the form that he wants to present to me the longest, is sort of this like boyishly handsome young man with like curly hair, whatever. But we're sitting at this table, and then Juliet's sort of saying, like, go over to this bench and connect, like, one at a time with whoever's there. And I feel like the deity that I work with regularly turns and is, like, introducing me to this new energy. And I hear very clearly that this is Hermes, who... The only thing I know about Hermes is that he's like the messenger. I'm thinking of like the movie Hercules, where he's like zipping around, you know, like giving messages. I know nothing else about this energy. And I'm like, okay, but it's always kind of fun to like know nothing. So I'm just like, all right. So I'm sitting on the bench with Hermes and just sort of feeling. And to me, in my, you know, my sort of what I know about him, I'm like, okay, he's a messenger. Maybe he's going to help take our message and like spread it farther or something like that. And, you know, he feels very mischievous. And like I said, like he keeps kind of like changing what he looks like to me. He feels a little mischievous, very playful, but like really fun. Like I'm excited that, you know, he's here, he's introducing himself to me, or rather that the deity has introduced us, connected us, which is really interesting. And so this whole meditation felt really good. And then of course, afterwards, I'm like, immediately got to go Google, you know, what's Hermes all about? What's he the god of? Why would he come to me? And I was mind blown. I was like shook. I was like sweating. It was so bizarre. And since then, like all these interesting synchronicities have popped up. But the biggest thing that was mind blowing to me was that when I looked up Hermes, yes, he's like the messenger of the gods, and he's able to go in between the three world, which would be like, you could think of it as like the heavens and then like the earthly realm and then the underworld. He also is, I can't remember the word for it, but basically leads souls into the underworld, which the other deity I work with is connected to the underworld. So very interesting. I'm such an underworld witch. I don't, you know, you look at me and I'm like pink and sparkly, and it's not the aesthetic I would think of. You're thinking of an underworld witch, but it kind of makes sense. It's about transformation, and I, you know, really love transforming other people's lives. But anyways, this is the craziest thing. It says he's the god of travelers.
Of course he is.
I have never heard this in my life before, but the god of travelers is like, Sadie just bought her one-way ticket. She's about to embark on this journey. I gotta go work with her. So that was bizarre. And I also learned that his staff is like the symbol for modern medicine, where you see the like the, I don't know how to describe the thing with the stuff around it, whatever. And I have seen that in my meditations so many times over the past couple years, and I always try to look it up, and all that comes up is like healthcare medicine. And I'm like, okay, like maybe I need to go to the doctor, I don't know. So that also like sent full body chills, because I was like, I have been seeing that in meditation and I had no idea. And then it's just been like so weird. Like I'll sometimes I like to like, if I'm scrolling on TikTok, I'll like find a really interesting one. And I like to like, you know, as one does, pop into the comments, and I'll see like a username with Hermes in it, or someone comment the name for in some sort of context, some guy's handle that keeps popping up on my For You page all of a sudden is like Hermes the Cynic or something. Like, it's just bananas. And so I'm really interested to explore this more. But just like so wild how It's just like those moments where you're sort of like reaffirmed and believe on an even deeper level. Like, of course we believe in all this, but when you have something that shocking where you're just like, holy shit, like I did not know any of this. And this entity, mm-hmm. this energy is coming to me. So that was like really, really cool. That was so cool. And I've been sort of just tuning into his energy during meditation and trying to learn more about him. And it's interesting because they say the offerings and things that you would make to Hermes are pretty much the same as what I offer to my other deity. So I'm like, oh, just make it double. Easy peasy. So that's been really cool and really fun to be connecting with a new energy. And then, oh boy, I just keep trying to go outside and go on walks because I just have cabin fever because I don't have a car. I can't go anywhere like during mm-hmm. the weekdays. Like I can't go work at a coffee shop. So I'm out in the country. So go for walks. And then every single time I feel sick the next day. I'm like, outside is supposed to be good for me, but like my throat gets like swollen. It's very weird, but I got to go for my mental health. So we're going to keep trying. It's not that bad. I just like yesterday I went for a walk and now my throat just feels swollen, but whatever.
I wonder if you wore like a mask or a scarf, something that the air yeah. would be a little warmer going into your throat, something to cover your mouth and your nose a little bit.
Yeah, I know. I should try that.
Which I know defeats the purpose of being outside.
I know. I'm like, but... I want some freaking fresh air, but yeah, it's like yeah. too cold. It's not even that cold. It's like 20s, but whatever.
That's cold. And then,
I know. For Wisconsin, it's like nice. And then I've just been continuing to plan for my trip. I got my like big backpack in. I found a purple one. I'm very excited because I just think those big backpacks look so dorky. No offense to my backpackers out there.
But I mean, you were a backpacker.
I know. I've just been in this internal struggle. Like, should I just bring the roller, but like a big one? I'm like, no, it's going to get annoying in certain places. And I just mm-hmm. don't want to be that person that's the only one with the rolling huge suitcase. Because I'm traveling like backpacker style. Like, I'm moving around pretty quickly. Some places we're going to stay like a month. But anyways, I found a cute one. It's like pastel purple. I've decided I'm bringing that and a carry-on roller. So it's light enough to carry the few times I need to. And then like a regular size backpack. And that's it. I'm traveling those three things for 6 months. And I have to bring like this chunky podcast mic and stuff. I was going to try and just do the backpacks, but I'm like, no, I'm bringing one extra bag.
Well, good. Hey, did they have it in pink? Did they have it in pink by chance?
Yeah, it was just sort of I didn't like the pink one as much, but they do have it in pink.
Okay, maybe I'll like peek at the pink one because that'd be really cute. And we're in Bali.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. I got it on Amazon.
Okay.
It's the Mountaintop brand, which the purple and pink ones I think are newer, so they didn't have reviews, but other Mountaintops had amazing reviews. Everyone says they're the best for like a lower price point that you can get. So that's why I went with Mountaintop, because I didn't want to pay. The bag I really wanted was $400. And I was like, this one's $92. We'll do this one. So I've been doing that, planning, you know, I have New Zealand pretty much planned out, and then like when I'm going to Australia, and then we're just kind of figuring out the rest of the leg of the trip. One thing I think we're going to do that I'm really excited about is we're going to be going to South Korea, and I think we're going to spend a whole month there, and they have this really cool, so we're signing up for Workaway, which is like you can work in exchange for staying somewhere for free. And my cousin and her friend are doing more workaways than me because I have to manage my time. Like I have other work to do. But this Workaway is really cool. So it's meant to be like a social way for people to practice their English, but you're not like teaching like classes. So basically you can stay at this place and you're in charge of like a little bit of cleaning around the place that you stay, sort of like a hostel. But what they want you to do is spend time each day in their like social areas and like people who live there that aren't native English speakers but want to practice. They come and you just like kind of get a beer with them. You just hang out and have conversation. And that's like what they want you to do. So it's like such a cool concept. Fun. And you're not like, you know, working a lot. So I think we're going to do that. And the sort of the cool thing is just like, you're really getting, you know, the full experience of like meeting people from there and like learning about their lives and going, they like throw parties and they do like events where they like take you to go do stuff. And I'm really excited about that. So yeah, so South Korea is sort of planned out. I just don't know when exactly that's happening. But yeah, lots of fun stuff. And that's pretty much what's new with me. Just counting down the days. As of today, it's 39 days. We're in the 30s, folks.
Yay!
And when this episode drops, it'll be even less. That's as of recording day. It'll be like 33 days or something, 34 days when this drops.
Sure.
I'm very excited.
I can't count in my head, so.
Me either. I'm like, calculating.
It's not my gift. Not my gift. Oh my gosh. So exciting.
I'm so excited.
So exciting. Oh my goodness. And, well, is there anything else new?
No, I want to dive in because we're going to kind of talk about what we've learned in 3 years of being fully committed to manifesting, like the actual concept, the science, the system of manifestation, and sort of like before that point and after that point and some of the turning points of that. So I'm really excited to dive into today's topic and hopefully inspire some of you to either get started or keep going on your journey, because as you've probably noticed, like a lot has been changing in our energy lately, changing in the mm-hmm. way we've shown up. Obviously, I threw my whole life out and started a new one.
Bravely, we all know that. Beautifully.
So like, let's talk about that, why that's happening, how that's happening, and how you can, you know, make shit happen in your own life in little or big ways.
Yeah. So I feel like, gosh, I feel like in the fall of last year, some things happened and we had to make some changes that were really like a big gift to us. Mm-hmm. Looking back at it now, because in so many ways, like whatever those things were like a wake-up call. And we sort of realized around November, December, in our own ways, like, why did we start this journey? Why did we start this podcast? Why are we here? Why are we even doing this? Mm-hmm. And are there dreams that we've sort of either left behind or like placed on a shelf while we built this? And the answer was yes. And so with Sadie, it's been all about traveling the world and seeing you make this huge decision and this huge change and this huge commitment. I know I'm not the only one who felt very inspired by that. I mean, we have a really beautiful friendship in that like one of us takes a step and the other is like, oh, and then we realize a step we want to make in our own lives. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, in the this is the third year of the podcast, I've never told my music story. I'm very like vague and brief about it, but like it's a huge part of my life. And I've been doing everybody listening like a disservice by just saying like, oh, well, I taught preschool and I nannied and I did assistant work and retail work. And then here we are, because there was so much else going on while I was doing those jobs. There was a whole lot going on. So I think I'm trailing and I lost the question, if I'm going to be honest.
Okay, I'll refer to my notes because I have it sort of laid out, and it'll definitely lead into you telling all of this.
Okay, I'm going to keep edge back of our seat and listen.
Okay, so here I realized this because it's January right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it was January 2020 where I came back from my little Christmas vacation. This is when we were still working mm-hmm. at the store together. And I told the whole team, oh my God, I just learned about this thing called manifestation. Have you heard of it? And Juliet was the one that was like all in with me. We were like learning all about it. We were soaking mm-hmm. up every free resource available. We were like all in on this buzzy word, manifestation. So I feel like 2020 was like a big portal, like a big turning point. You could say like January 2020 was the start of this, I feel like, in mm-hmm. a way. Because that's when we really connected about this stuff, right? Like it was sort of the first spark of that. But before this point, we had both manifested really incredible things in our lives. You know, we at that point in time maybe weren't working in our dreamiest of dream jobs, definitely not for me. And we hadn't, you know, achieved all of the great things we dreamt about, but we both had manifested like a lot of cool things in our lives. Even though we didn't know like the concept of intentional manifestation. Mm-hmm. And so like Juliet created incredible achievements in her music career. I manifested like, because my big thing that we're going to keep coming back to is travel. I think it's my Sagittarius rising, just like has mm-hmm. to see the world. I was like, damn, I manifested multiple free trips to Europe before I ever knew about manifestation. And we both created a lot of good in our lives and manifested a lot of good in our lives before really understanding these concepts fully. I just feel like when January 2020 came around, that was when we became obsessed with manifestation, learning about it, how to utilize it very purposefully in our lives. And that's sort of when our journey together began, even though we had known each other previously, but like this leg of the journey. And we have such incredible like grit and purpose when it comes to manifestation now. Like we will never mm-hmm. give up. We are so committed. We know how it works. We know how to make it work in our lives. Mm-hmm. But tell us a little bit about like what you manifested in your music career and all of the cool stuff you did before you even knew manifestation existed.
Yeah. So I always believed in being tenacious and showing up, definitely like that go-getter part of me. And so when I was 17, I was networking on MySpace Music. I was getting people to come in from out of town and play shows with me. I would like wheel and deal and book these. I mean, from the time I was a teenager, I was like booking venues and they would always, I mean, LA is the town of pre-sale tickets. Like, okay, cool. You can play here, but you have to sell 30 tickets. And if you don't sell them, you have to owe me the rest of the money. Mm-hmm. And I have never sold a single pre-sale ticket. Over 10 years, I always found a way to be like, no, actually, let's just do it this way. And we'll split the door like that. I mean, I was a business person from the time I was a teenager. When I was 17, because of these people that I invited in from out of state to play with me, I had this wider vision. I was like, I'm going to invite them to play. I'm going to fall in love with one of them. And then I'm going to end up on their record label. And it happened exactly like that. I mean, the relationship was extremely short-lived. It was maybe 2 months, but I did end up on my first record label deal when I was 17 with songs that I recorded by myself, like with my dad in our house. I mean, we didn't have a recording studio. We had like an old Zoom recorder and GarageBand, you know? And so that was so exciting to tell my friends like, oh, I just signed a record deal. And it was really, really thrilling. And then I was on that label for a year and they were just in another state. They were in Arizona. So there wasn't much we could do for each other. Like I totally fit in with the roster, but like I was in LA. So, and also I was just, I didn't want to deal with that ex anymore because I had just fallen so in love with him and I couldn't handle being on the same label. So I was like, I'm ready to leave. And they let me go, which is funny. Like the business person in me now would be like, stay on the label. But that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. And it was not a problem. And then, 18, 19, 20, 21, I was booking and playing all my own shows. I always made friends with bands with big followings and I would put them on right after me. So I would position myself. And no one taught me this. I just knew, like, I didn't care about headlining. I always wanted to like stack a show where the headliner would go right after me. So all of their audience, and then I would push the show back about 30 minutes. So all of their audience would discover me, right? And it worked really well. And then I would build up. I mean, I had shows sometimes where like almost 100 people would come. Like I became like kind of popular in the Valley. And then around 21, I became obsessed with Hotel Cafe because that's where everybody at a moment in time got their start. The Lumineers, Mumford and Sons, Adele, so many people's first show in the United States is at Hotel Cafe. Mm. And the, and so I applied to work there just so I could meet the owner. And we had an interview and then I was like, oh yeah, I do music by the way. And then that opened up a whole door there. I've always known how to get in. So I was featured there a lot of times and I opened for Sarah Bareilles. I was on a bill with Joshua Radin. Back when I was 18, my song ended up on K-Rock, which is like the biggest rock station in Los Angeles, which then other stations picked it up. And there's a city in Peru where I ended up in like top 10 radio. And so they think I'm a huge deal in Lima, Peru.
Oh my God, I mean,
like they're completely confused. And so I just always kept like anything that seemed impossible, I would just find a way. I would just find a way. And so I was manifesting because I just didn't think anything was too hard or too out of reach. Like, oh, I can get a record label as a teenager. I mean, and my whole music career, I've never had a manager. I've never had an agent. I used to fake being my own manager for a while because it would get email responses. I'd be like, hi, my name's Elliot. I represent Juliet. And then people would respond, which maybe, I mean, so many people do that. So, but even that, I was like, oh, I guess I need a manager. Okay, I'll just be my own. So I did that for a long time. And then I moved into the songwriting space. Before that, I was playing shows with Haim, like in backyards. And I sat my uncle down who worked at, well, he worked at William Morris. He was the vice president of William Morris at the time for many years. He was the agent for a lot of big acts. And you think that would have helped me in some way. But I think one time he sent one of his interns to my show and that guy gave me a business card and I never talked to him again. So it's not like there was a like a nepotism thing going on. I wish that there wasn't. But I sat him down. I was like 18 years old and I was like, I'm playing shows with these girls named Haim. They're going to blow up. They're going to be huge. Like we should start a label. We should do something with them. Cause they were playing the same backyards I was. And so that was where sort of like that psychic intuition was kicking in at a young age. And then they of course have blown up and they're amazing. I always found a way in. There was one group of this one promoter used to put on the best shows and like hundreds of people would come. And so I decided that I would reach out to him and offer to volunteer to photograph for free. And so I did that for a few shows because I loved taking photos and he just lost his mind over the photos. And then he's like, oh, if there's anything I can do for you, let me know. And I was like, well, you could have me on the bill. And so I always found a way in.
Oh, you mentioned it.
yeah. Well, and I was very decisive and I was like, I was willing to like take risks and approach people and ask. And if I couldn't get in the normal way, I would get in a different way. And I always had good intentions. Like I wasn't ever trying to trick anybody, but I was really, I just believed I could find a way and I always did. And then like my mid 20s, I focused on songwriting for other artists. I was always the only writer in the room that didn't have a manager or a publisher. I just slithered my way in, based on like my talent and my merit. And so that was always cool. I had a song that was picked up by the Chainsmokers. They recorded it and then they didn't put it on the album. It was like, ugh. And that happened a number of times. But I was always just like, I want to be in music. I want to figure it out. I want to find a way. And for the most part, I always did. But I still felt very capped by a ceiling. I mean, even Sesame Street, you know, a couple years ago, I sent a cold DM to somebody who worked at Sesame Street and that got me like 3 amazing jobs there. Like I'm willing to reach out and do what it takes. Like, and I think for some people, that's the hardest part. Like won't even make the move. They talk themselves out of it. My challenge, which is now not a challenge anymore. I've just decided. My challenge up until 2020 and even up until a little bit more recently was I can get into these rooms, but how do I have more staying power? How do I break my own glass ceiling? It's like I could do it, but I never felt like I felt like people who got a Grammy, like knew something I didn't know, had something I didn't have, people who could perform for thousands of people. I'm like, oh, well, I'm not like that. Right. So what manifestation and everything that we've learned over the past 3 years has done for me is so valuable. And it's why I'm obsessed with talking about it and teaching on it and doing this with you, because I still, as much of a go-getter as I was, I still was floating around in this energy of, if it's meant to be, we'll see, I'll try. It was still a little bit of a wishy-washy energy. I still had beliefs like, oh, if I was prettier, this would have happened by now. If my face looked like this, if I could sing like this, like just these things that ultimately aren't true. Yeah. Like that's just ultimately not true. So, you know, I'll popcorn over to you because I want to hear your journey. But what I will circle back to later is that for me, the biggest thing that changed and that I'm like doubling down on this year is the decision, the decisiveness, the belief of what's actually possible. And if I can't get fully behind, like I could win a Grammy one day, if there's still something in me that tightens, what beliefs do I need to work through? As opposed to just letting it be tight and just accepting that, well, it probably won't happen. There's so much mindset work, right? And that so much of everything is the energy. And if you don't really fully believe that something is possible, you can take all the action steps in the world and you're going to hit a wall. And I believe that's what happened to me. I believe that I could take all the action steps. I could give it my all. I could achieve things in music that so many of my friends that I started out with were constantly like, you did what? You figured out what? And I still would feel like I hit a wall. And so that's why this year, it's like I am stomping on, I am reviving my music. I've let it sit on a shelf for a couple of years. I'll like throw out a song and then disappear. I'm going all in. Seeing you choose to follow your passions and travel the world, I was like, I still see women on stage with confetti falling from the ceiling and my heart breaks because I want it so bad. So why am I not pursuing it? You know? So that's sort of been my experience and my journey with it. But I am really proud of what I did, sort of blindly moving around and not understanding what I was doing. I still accomplished a lot.
Yeah.
And I, you know, at some point I just felt like, oh, well, I must be too old. The ship has sailed. Like, no one cares anymore. That is such nonsense. Like, that 90-year-old woman just won a Latin Grammy. Like, I'm going to get my folk Grammy. I'm going to get a Grammy in the folk category. They don't televise the folk category, whatever. But it's going to sit on my piano. I feel it. I've, like, imagined feeling it. So that's where I'm at right now. And that's how doing this show, building this world with you, and being your best friend has, like, realigned me to so many things. And I know, I'm, like, asking myself far more quality questions than I ever was. I was like, oh, well, I don't think that's possible. Anyways, what's for dinner? Like, I wouldn't stop and be like, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
Why is that not possible, Juliet? I have friends, I have peers that have Grammys, that are number one Billboard producers, and you've not, and you've probably not heard of them. Do you know what I mean? They're not all Taylor Swift.
You know, so it's funny because I just saw a TikTok of this girl talking about the difference between celebrity and fame. It kind of made me think about this because she said she lives in LA naturally. And I think she's done some acting, and she's also done a lot of, like, I think maybe nannying or some sort of work where she's around, like, lots of celebrities and she's in their energy. And she said, it's such a different energy between a celebrity and someone who has fame. And sometimes you have both, but a lot of times you have one or the other. Mm-hmm. For example, there's so many people with fame right now, you know, like the TikTok stars of our generation. They have fame, but they're not necessarily a celebrity. And there's a lot of celebrities that aren't famous. They're incredibly successful. When they walk into a room, you look, they're known in their circles, but to a broader, you know, world perspective, most people would say, who's that? And I got to thinking about that and, like, embracing, like, my own, like, celebrity energy, you know, and, like, oh, we're celebrities of the witch world. Why not?
Yes.
And how that's such a cool way to look at it. I got a big chill.
I'm writing that down. I love that.
I think I saved the TikTok. I'll have to send it to you. But I just thought, like, that is, like, the coolest energy to think about. Mm-hmm. And not, and celebrity or fame, there's not one that's better than the other, but celebrity is really an energy and identity versus, she said, celebrity is an identity and fame is a resource, like money. You can trade fame for things. Mm. Like, you can trade fame for a free stay or free products or things like that. But celebrity is more of the identity. So working on that identity can then, you know, expand your fame if that's what you desire, which I thought was really cool to think about. And I think also, as you were talking about, you know, Juliet's our famous go-getter, like, that's what you're known for in the, you know, quantum goddess circles and this podcast, like, Juliet reaches out to TLC and we've got an interview the next day, and how we've you know, together also had so many experiences of, like, getting in the door, but then it not really, like, going past that, which we've discussed is one Hollywood. It happens to everyone. It's not, you know, something that's only happening to us. So we don't have to take that personally, but also just makes me think about how, with the knowledge that we do have of the manifestation process, really understanding that, like, we are able to reach up into that energy. And now it's our job to learn to maintain that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so it's like it's one thing to, like, feel, like, really confident and really good when, I don't know, something really great happens, or you go on an amazing vacation, or, you know, we get hired for an amazing gig and we're on top of the world. We're like, oh my God. But how do you maintain and hold that energy in day-to-day life? Do you still think that way about yourself? Do you still feel that confident? Or is it dependent on going viral on TikTok or getting a DM that said, you changed my life, or getting hired for the gig, or, you know, getting a meeting in this space? So it's like really about learning. Like, yeah, there's been times where I certainly feel like a celebrity when my shit's popping off on TikTok, or we're literally giving psychic readings for some of the most famous people from TikTok, or whatever it is, right? It's easy to feel celebrity then, but can I feel celebrity when I'm stuck at home for days on end? Can I still hold that energy? And when you learn to hold your energy on those normal days, those mundane days, then when you get put in those rooms, in those situations, I think that's when shit's going to happen. And so that's sort of the challenge. And that's where I think we are stepping into right now by rediscovering some of those dreams. We're learning how to, like, that's our normal energy. That's how we feel all of the time, rather than dipping into it and coming in and out of it. I think that's sort of like one of the big things that we're stepping into this year that I'm noticing.
Oh my gosh. I could not agree more. I'm like bubbling as you say this. Well, it's that, what is that quote? Like, if you're always, what is it? If you're always ready, you don't have to get ready. Like, if you're just ready.
Something like that. Like, I don't know the words either, but I understand the sentiment.
Oh my gosh, celebrity. Maybe should we change our bio to celebrity witches?
I was thinking about it on TikTok. I was like, celebrity psychic witch. Maybe, why not? Let's do it.
Great. I know. I just changed mine to say lucky witch.
I love it.
So I'm like,
well, and I think another thing you said that really stood out to me, and I think this is like a module or something in Activate Your Magic, we talk about it, is like the quality of your life will depend on the quality of the questions you ask yourself every day, period. Because our life is a series of questions. Should I get out of bed now, or should I press snooze? What should I eat? What time should I leave for work? How should I react to this? How should I react to that? How should I spend my time? Our whole life is just a constant stream of questions. So we got to learn to ask ourselves quality questions, because you ask a shit question, you get a shit answer. Like, that's it. We have to learn how to reframe that conversation. So I love that point you brought up too, of just like the quality questions will change your life.
Well, I forgot to mention in the What's New With Me, I went to lunch with Bryn Daylor, who we've had on the show. She does the sex and love coaching. She is amazing. And then she brought her friend Samantha, who runs and owns Zen Boss Academy. And the three of us sat down for like an hour and a half. And I was so transformed by this conversation that I had to come home and take like a 2-3 hour nap. It was the most, the energy they were on, the questions they asked one another and me, I was sort of speechless and unprepared for some of them, because it was like, oh, well, like, what's the greatest thing you've learned from podcasting? And what's the most recent breakthrough you've had? And, you know, how, like, what's the most recent struggle you've had? And how are you like? And I was like, this is amazing. And I know that we do that here, but it's not often that I sit down for lunch with women and have, and for not a single moment, like, nobody talked about anybody else. Nobody had a complaint. Everybody was like, I mean, it was, I was so, and I was like, oh, this is the secret sauce. This is what, you know, what we do. But to see it play out in front of me was like, oh, this is why this is so powerful.
Well, that's why we have the mastermind component in the Alchemy Collective, because it's about like, we want to have the conversation. We want to have that high level quality conversation with you, because it's powerful. Like, questions will change your life. It's cool.
It was amazing. I also sat down this week and I did the journal prompts for Manifestation Babe Academy. I'm revisiting that. Wow. I mean, it's questions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wasn't asking myself. The questions I was asking myself up until about 2020, 2021 were, why isn't it working? Why aren't I blank enough?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not really, why does this happen to me? Why do they have it and I don't? Mm-hmm. That really is, it's human and normal. Do not ever shame yourself for asking a question like that. You're not ruining your manifestation process by having a normal human thought. But it is important to become observant and think, is that a question that's going to catapult me into clarity and a realization and a new energy level? Right. Or is it just going to sort of keep me where I am?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Ooh, celebrity witch. We know some people who call themselves celebrity something.
Mm-hmm.
We could do it.
Why not?
How hard could it be?
Your new favorite celebrity witches.
Inspiring you to live magically.
If you're on YouTube, so you can comment, drop a comment what your celebrity status is. I'm sure we've got mm-hmm. celebrity goddesses here, celebrity witches. Like, what celebrity are you claiming? Or DM us on Instagram. I want to hear like what kind of celebrity you're claiming. Celebrity artist. I want to hear about it. Celebrity
psychic.
It's
so funny too, because, you know, I always sort of wanted to make like Forbes 30 under 30. And I know like way too many people who have. Like I can be like, oh yeah, this person, I know this. It's like very, I've met so many people who've made that list. But the thing about being 31, it's like, you know what? There's no pressure anymore. Let's just be celebrities. I've outgrown the
pressure's
list.
Off. We'll get the 40 under Ooh. 40.
Sure. I'll take the 90 under 90. Whatever. My day is coming.
I love it.
My day is here.
So
go on.
So I was going to say, like, in pretty much exactly 3 years, yes, we were manifesting amazing things before, but the energy has completely shifted. And so I would argue that we've manifested in 3 years such huge, profound, miraculous things that it's very mm-hmm. clear, it's very obvious that manifestation works. Mm-hmm. And we've created lives that once felt impossibly out of reach. I couldn't even conceive of everything we've got going on here in January 2020. If you were like 3 years from now, January 2023, this is where you're going to be. I'd be like, back home. But about to embark on a journey like that. And I'm, you know, and like I can work. And that's what all the stuff that happened in between. I did that. I did what? I was where? Mm-hmm. I signed what kind of contract? I mean, I wouldn't have been able to possibly conceive of how that would happen, how I, little old me, made it happen. The mindset wasn't there. The energy wasn't there. And you know, some part of me feels like, oh yeah, 3 years is a long time, but like that's a blink of an eye. Like that in the span of a lifetime, how much we've done in 3 years, and not even because we didn't start our business in January 2020. That's just when we realized that people taught manifestation and started mm-hmm. using these principles in our lives. In 3 years, that's bananas.
No, 3 years is fast. I mean, think about, I mean, middle school, that was a blink of an eye. That was 3 years. And what really changed? You got a little taller. You got a bra. You know what I mean? Like
got your period. A lot, actually. But I was already done growing in sixth grade. Well, my middle school was only seventh and eighth grade. It was only 2 years.
Okay, basically, well, this is a terrible example.
Doesn't apply to me. But it applies to literally everybody else. I've been like, yeah. 6 feet tall since I was 11. No, just
you buy a hair straightener.
Tall.
I mean, I don't know. Like what? The past 3 years, January 2020, I was living at home with my parents. Mm-hmm. What was I doing? I was working at the store with you.
Mm-hmm.
I was driving out I was living in the Valley, working in Santa Monica, driving to Silver Lake to be with Victor, and then driving home. If you understand the layout of Los Angeles, it is one of the worst configurations.
Both of us, and I was just crazy
dealing with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I would also like to ask everyone listening a question. Okay. Where could you be in 3 years if you went all in today? Like, if you were like, oh my gosh, my new obsession, or I'm recommitting to the obsession, or I'm doubling down on manifestation, I'm going to learn everything possible. I'm going to make it work in my life. I'm going to hold the energy. I'm going to be like go-getter Juliet. I'm going to meditate every day like Sadie. I'm going to do it fucking all. Mm-hmm. Where would you be in 3 years? And you have no idea, because what you think is a fraction of what will manifest in 3 years. You have no idea. And then the other question I want to ask you is, where will be if you don't, if nothing changes? And that question always scares the fuck out of me. I'm like, absolutely not. I am not staying the same. I stayed the same for like a decade. I did some cool things, but I always came back down to this place where I just felt powerless. I felt so low. I felt so anxious. And so just like the world was against me. Like, other people got to build businesses and manifest cool things, but not little old me. Absolutely not. No.
Well, there's that. What powerful talk about quality questions. Love that. I also realized, and this seems like an obvious one, but sometimes the thing that we have the most resistance to, the most like jealousy come up about, is the exact thing that we need to do. So for instance, I think I've chatted about this. There's a girl who moved out to LA. I think she was 19, started a TikTok, went all in, won a Grammy. And in that time, I hadn't even made an account. And I was like feeling bitter. And I was like, no, Juliet, you're not allowed to be bitter unless you do the same thing and go at it all. You can't be bitter if you don't go all in.
Yeah.
You're not allowed. And that changed my life, because I was like, well, I guess I better be the person who posts 3 to 5 times a day. And it's like that resentment and that icky feeling goes away, because you're like, well, I'm no longer sitting on the sidelines feeling gross. I'm on the field. Maybe I'm not making any touchdowns, me and my sports metaphors, but I'm playing. I'm out there. There are grass stains on my pants. Like, so that's been huge for me. And Sadie and I have been on like such a fun campaign, I guess, fun mission. And visibility was hard for me last year and even the year before. And it, you all know, it took me quite a minute to come forward and like blend my passions and come forward and say, I'm psychic, I'm a witch, without kind of dying inside. Like, it was terrifying. I was like, oh, it's going to ruin everything. It didn't ruin anything. It made everything better and brighter and more unique and exciting. And so, but our fears are valid and they're normal. And it's very like, it's very ego driven. You know, we want to stay the same because what we know is safe. And so, visibility is scary. That's a question we got asked in the Alchemy Collective. Like, how do you move through fear around visibility and being seen and, feeling stupid or being laughed at? And the thing is, like, you will feel stupid. People will probably laugh at you and maybe find you cringy, but you can't, there's not a chance in this universe that you're going to get where you want to go if you don't move through those feelings. Like, there's no shortcut around it. And so I've just completely embraced it. I know you have too. You've been inspiring me very much. And
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's been a joy. It's been a joy.
It's so funny because I have a note in my phone of like, maybe I could make a post about this. But I had this thought the other day. I guess this is more of a tweet. Maybe I need to tweet it. But I think that our, like, our probability of success is directly related to our tolerance for being cringe.
Yes.
Because it feels so cringy to like show up on social media. It to this day, it still feels cringy at times. I have like my dad and, you know, family here that can like hear me recording TikToks of me like doing my makeup and, you know, talking, telling a story or whatever. And like, it's just like, who cares? Who cares? You have to just be okay with feeling cringy. And I can't promise you that feeling ever goes away. It definitely lessens or your just tolerance mm-hmm. grows greater. But I do think there's a very real correlation between your just willingness to be cringe, because you got to show up. You got to, it feels cringy to ask, maybe it feels cringy to ask for a raise. Maybe it feels cringy to cold DM somebody for an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Maybe it feels cringy to make the TikTok or whatever it is. You want to manifest your dreams, you got to be fucking cringy, I think.
I know.
I think it's related. I do. And it's not that bad, I promise.
No, I mean, there you have to go to the pole dancing class and be the worst one. You just have to.
You have to start somewhere.
That's how it starts. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Oh,
and I think,
cheeks.
Ooh, I think in the same way that cringiness is like deliciously. So we have divinely delusional, like hot and cringy, or like deliciously cringy or
deliciously
something.
Deliciously cringy. I love it.
Cringy. I'm writing these down because
cringy and hot and cringy.
I like hot and cringy.
Cute and cringy. Cringy Aww. Cute.
I have some merch ideas. You know, I'm just thinking of things that are non-negotiable for a lot of us. Like a lot of us have to get in the car and drive to work. Like there's, as much as maybe we don't like it, like that's how we get to the job and that's how we do our job, whatever it is. Or you have to, I don't know why, like I've now started to look at like being cringy and being visible as like having to go buy groceries, having to drive somewhere. Like it's, there's just no shortcut. And I think that was a fear of mine because I wanted to be like this cool indie songstress fairy. Like that is out the window. I can't, like, because first of all, that's not really my whole personality. Like I'm a total goofball and I'm not mysterious. I'm really not. I mean, if you know me in real life, and even here, I've opened up a heck of a lot, but it's fun. Like reframing things is everything. That's a big thing that manifestation has awoken in us, mm-hmm. I believe, just reframing. And I'm really going to start moving through the world like I'm a celebrity witch. I just think that's so fun. I mean, what are the other celebrity... I mean, was Elvira wasn't a witch, was she? She was a mistress.
No, she's
the
mistress
darkness.
Of the dark. Yeah. So, but she, you know, she's got witchy vibes. Well, technically, if you watch the movie, her great aunt is a witch and gives her her book. And so she actually is. But, you know, the Elvira not in the movie. Yeah, she's not really a non-fictional witch. She hosted those, you know, cheesy horror movie hours. She wasn't really a witch.
What a job. Like,
I know. So cool, right?
Amazing.
I mean, look at our job.
I know. It's really
so cool.
I wake up every day, truly, and I'm like, one of my biggest dreams my whole life was to have no alarms. Like that was my ultimate freedom. It was like, I just get to wake up when I wake up. And for me, that's usually around 11:30. And every day that I just get to wake up and I'm like, oh my gosh, I get to wake up at 11:30 and give my bird a little belly rub and then just be magical all day. And that's what I do for work. That's so cool. Wow. So cool. But we had to believe that that was a reality. And if we, you know, before we even sat down to record our first episode, I remember Craig was like, you know, girls, it might take like at least 3 years for anybody to find it. Like you really got to, and you and I were both like, no, I think it's just going to work. And it kind
And it did.
It did, and it continues to grow and be amazing. So thank you, everybody who listens. And, you know, we've had the pleasure of talking to so many of you in our DMs or in our membership spaces. But if you've never, ever, ever said hi, know that you're always welcome to. And we do really, really appreciate you.
Yeah. Okay. So I want to talk a little bit about going back to like my original dream, the story behind that a little bit too.
Okay.
So I was always obsessed with travel. We're tired of hearing about it, Sadie. We know you're going on a trip.
She just wants to leave.
But so like since I was little, I was like, I want to go to Europe. I want to go to South America. I want to go to Asia. I want to go to everywhere. And my mom was the same way. Like we always talked about like, oh, after I graduate college, we'll take this big, like, you know, 2 week, 3 week European vacation together. Like it's going to be so amazing. And we would just like, you know, sit with wine or sit with coffee. And like, we would just like fantasize. We would talk about it all of the time. And then she passed while I was still in college. So we never, or while I was like finishing up college, I stopped college for a little bit because she was sick. And then she was on medications and stuff. So we couldn't go. And then of course she passed. And this was like devastating to me. I just felt like, of course, she's in spirit. She can, you know, she can go zip around Rome if she wants to, whatever. Like she's not worried about not having had that human experience in this lifetime, but it was so hard for me. I felt so disappointed that she never got to do that. Like that was both of our big dream. And like, we had taken some like resort trips down to Mexico and like, you know, done like Florida and like little trips around the US, but we had never done like, she was like, I want to like do like the backpacking trip where you like live it, you know, like you're not just staying at a resort and not going anywhere. And so this obviously even added more passion to this already, you know, big passion I had about traveling, because I was like, I have to do it. Like my mom didn't get to do it. And it was so devastating, but it really like just planted the seed in me of, like, you never know. You don't know how long your life is. And it's short and it goes by quickly. And it's a waste of time to not go after what you want. Like, it's, you know, obviously we're all in different situations and we all have different levels of privilege and different things, these factors in our society that make manifestation work in different ways for each of us. But like, we have to hold on to our visions. We have to hold on to our desires and practice manifestation and make these things happen in our lives, because you just never know. And that might be a little grim, but I think it just lit this fire under my ass of like, I'm doing this, I'm figuring it out. And like, I got this much time. I don't know how much more time. I'm not going to waste it anymore. And so I went on my first backpacking trip about 8 months after she passed. And a friend reached out to me and said, you know, I'll buy the plane ticket. Like, let's go do this. And I was like, oh my God, thank you. Yes, let's go. And that was like about a 6 week trip. And so that was the longest trip I ever went on. And I had never felt more alive. I was like, this is who I am. Like, and we were staying in hostels and taking trains, and I ended up going off by myself because things weren't really working out there. But I just had the greatest experience of my life. Every new city I went to, I would go to like a beautiful church and light a candle for my mom and like just like connect with her. It was so amazing. And I came home from this trip and I was so depressed. I was like, I was like, you know, I had this like taste of my dream. And I was like, I was back home here just trying to figure out. I was like, I need to work for myself. I followed like all of these digital nomads. I was like, I have to figure out how to work for myself or have a remote job, because like, I don't know how to make that happen. I feel so lost. I feel so overwhelmed, but like, this has to be my life. Like, I have to be able to travel when I want, for how long I want. I just don't know how. And at that point in time, I I kind of let my mindset get the better of me. I really, really tried, but I just couldn't take the, I couldn't follow through with the actions. I couldn't figure out how to make it work, but I did take a big leap, and this inspired my move to California. I was like, well, if I can't go backpacking again right away, because I don't know how to make that happen, I know what I can do. I can just move, start a new adventure that way. And so I moved to Santa Barbara, and I actually, I did start a business while there a little bit. It was very influencer-esque, but I started this Instagram page, which is actually the same Instagram page I have now. But it's renamed now. And I was making like a few hundred bucks a month, but it grew really fast. It was also about mindset and adventure and making the most of life. It was called Barbie Knows Best. My mom is Barbie. And it was like, the theme was like the wisdom my mom had imparted on me and how I was making this grief journey make me create a life that felt really good. I didn't know that was called manifestation at the time, but it was very aligned with what I do now. We do now. And it felt so good. And it was a beautiful page. I connected with a lot of amazing people. I had like little brand deals and stuff. But then I gave up on it when I broke up with my then boyfriend, because he was an amazing photographer, and it was kind of based around him taking all these photos. And I was like, I don't know how to do this, whatever. But it was the foundation of what I do now. And that was back in like 2017-ish. And then I kind of gave up on it. And I went through a really hard period of time, and I was just kind of hopping from retail job to retail job for a couple years. But then, as the universe would have it, I found myself in a retail job with Juliet.
Yay.
And it all led back to where I was meant to be. And that original page that I had is very, you know, the energy was very aligned with, you know, what I'm all about now. And it took, you know, like 3 years to come back to finding myself. And, but then in that January 2020 portal and that, you know, the manifestation concept, that was what I was writing in my journal every day, was like, I have my own business. I don't know what the business is yet, but I know I have one. I know that it's going to let me work from where I want, when I want. It's going to let me travel. It's going to be amazing. And so that was sort of the original dream, the original basis for me of wanting to have a business, was to have this freedom. And it started out with a mindset, truly. It was always there. And I think, I was kind of reflecting on how it's interesting how we spent these 3 years together in this portal. We knew each other like 3.5 years. And like two and a half of the years are like us in business together. Mm-hmm. And how at the same time we're coming back to the original dreams, and it's kind of like literally exactly 3 years after finding manifestation, and how intuition is the key role in the manifestation process that is allowing us to like come back to where it all began, and that we didn't give up on those dreams. But actually, we really needed to go through this process to grow into the kind of person that can hold the energy for the original dreams, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
And if you feel like you're like, Sadie, Juliet, I feel like I'm doing, you know, manifestation. I feel like I'm following the principles. I feel like I'm doing the work, and it's not working. I would say 9 times out of 10, focusing on some intuition development is what going to be huge for you. Because I feel like when we were practicing manifestation a lot, and then when we went through our intuitive development mentorship, that's when things really opened up from a manifestation perspective, as well as literally becoming psychics.
Yeah, it's almost like we had to detour for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Really lean into our witchhood, really lean into our intuition, our psychicness, mm-hmm. our desires, understand the energetics of things.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been like school. It's been like an education. learn how to build and run a business, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's been amazing. It's been amazing. And it's so cool that it's like, it, you know, some things didn't work out how we thought they would, but I don't think we were energetically ready for them.
Mm-mm.
In a way that
no.
I think we are now.
I do say so myself. I was just thinking about how, like, and it's going to be, it's going to be a different, like, thing in different people's lives. But for Julia and I, and for every entrepreneur person, entrepreneurship is, like, the most transformative. You have no choice but go on to, like, a spiritual awakening, a personal development journey. Mm-hmm. Because it's hard, and you have to hold, you know, the energy for a lot of people. You have to have tough skin. If you're visible, you're going to get comments, or, you know, people are going to not see you the way that you see yourself, or going to, you know, misunderstand you. Mm-hmm. I mean, go look at our YouTube Shorts comments right now. People are like commenting that the meanest things. Like,
yeah, I don't
so mean,
look at those.
And I don't even care, but that would have really gotten to me a couple years ago. Like, it's like, you know, for us, it's entrepreneurship. For you, it might be something else. But if you are, if you have a specific dream, but your intuition is leading you down a seemingly different path, you need to trust that, because the transformation you're going to go on that path is going to turn you into the kind of person that has the capacity to hold the dream that you want. And so it's a necessary journey, and trusting the process. And if your intuition says we're shelving this for a little bit, or we're going to come back to that later, got to distinguish between ego and intuition. That's important. But if intuition is genuinely saying that, you listen, because there's something in this process that's going to allow you to turn into the kind of person that has the capacity to not only dip into that energy and then come back down, but to, like, hold that energy. It's going to be really powerful.
I'm so excited to see what this year looks like as it plays out. You know, like, it already feels so good and so different. It feels different than last year.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Severely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, completely. Yeah. And, like, look, this process was hard, and it's going to, there's going to be hard moments to come too this year, maybe even this month. Who knows? We didn't always feel good in the process, but we've always showed up. We've always figured it out. We've always stayed committed. And that's what you have to do. You have to have, like, the grit and the tenacity to, like, dig your heels in and be like, I don't know how this is going to happen, but I am committed to finding out. And being cringy, and, you know, being okay with failing, being okay with being misunderstood at times, or judged, or whatever it is, and just saying, like, I know who I am, I know what I want, and I know how I can create good in this world. Because I know for all of us, our big dreams and desires, they're going to add something wonderful to this world. If it's in your heart, it's there for a reason. You're going to inspire someone else in your life to show up for their dreams. I always like to think, like, what would I tell a best friend? What would I tell Juliet or another best friend in my life if they came to me with a crazy dream? I'd say, oh my God, that's so exciting that you know what you want. Go for it. But then we have our dreams in our own minds, and we go, like, who do you think you are?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? No way, right? So it's like, talk to yourself like you're your best friend, because you are.
I want to read something. Oh,
ooh,
finish.
Yes. No.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay, I'll read something. So last night, before the earthquake, I was writing down just what you said, and I'm going to post it this week. I wrote, I literally do not care if people watch me fail or fall flat on my face anymore. I'm over it. Is this your biggest fear? The vulnerability, people watching you try and perhaps not immediately succeed? If so, good news, that's so normal. Here is the reframe you've been needing. People get to watch you go big. People get to watch you have fun. People are inspired endlessly by your vulnerability, passion, and bravery. And honestly, at your funeral, they will literally talk about how iconic and aspirational you are. Like, mm-hmm. they will. They'll say, you know what? Juliet really went for it. What they won't say, I've told you this, when my grandma died. Beverly never complained. They will not say that at mine. Beverly was not Jewish. Beverly was her own breed. But I looked at my cousin during that funeral and I was like, you will not be hearing that at my funeral. They will say a lot of great things, but they're not going to say she never complained. It's cultural. So, yeah. Ooh, I've loved this episode. What were you going to say before I talked at the same time as you?
I was just going to say that if this episode is really lighting you up, then you need to join the Alchemy Collective, because yes. it's all encompassing. And if specifically when you heard that intuition is a key role and you were like, oh, and that lit something in you, you can join the psychic circle. But I would recommend the Alchemy Collective because it includes the psychic circle, because yes. intuition development is such a key part of manifestation. And the Alchemy Collective is this group mentorship setting where you can ask Juliet and I questions. You can tell us about specifically like what you're manifesting, what you're bumping up against, what energy you need to hold, what's going on with you. You can celebrate wins. You can complain when things don't work out. Like, we're here in this group to hold energy for each other and hype each other up and get excited. This is where we host a monthly mastermind where we get to all as a group come together, ask each other quality questions, get inspired. And then we also host a masterclass each month that's also live. And when you join, you get a huge library of masterclasses that range from the witchy to the intuition development, to the mindset and magic or manifestation. So we would love to see you in there. And if specifically the intuition piece is really lighting you up, there's also the psychic circle. So we'd love to see you in those. This is the space to be if you want Juliet and I's literal eyes on you, supporting mm-hmm. you through your own manifestation journeys. And we would just love to be that support for you.
It's the best place ever, I'll tell you what.
Yes, it is. Let's see if I wrote any other notes. That's pretty much it. I just wrote, we are ready. We came We're back ready. To our original dreams. Juliet the pop star. Sadie the digital nomad. Doesn't sound
And together.
The together. Celebrity witches.
The celebrity witches. Mm. Non-fictional.
Non-fictional. Non-fictional. Real magic.
Real magic.
Sorry, check.
That was at the same time.
We really have to record a new intro that's like real magic.
Oh my god!
I'll
get my guitar and I'm gonna write it down. Real magic song.
We can record it together when I'm in LA. So you have 39 days to put our new intro.
Okay.
And then you can auto tune my voice.
Hey, if you don't think
single,
if you think I don't utilize auto-tune, oh my gosh, auto-tune is my best friend. And I don't care what anybody has to say. Well, then you're not a real singer. No, I'm not. I'm really not. I'm a songwriter and I use the tools at my disposal.
Hell yeah, as you should.
Oh my God, real magic.
Real magic. If you want some real magic, come join us in the Alchemy Collective. And we have so many other fun goodies in the show notes, so many freebies. We'd love to see you in the Coven, the Psychic Circle, the Alchemy Collective. If you want to hang out with us more, come to Bali with us. Me and my purple backpack will be there.
And me and my probably pink matching one will be
yes.
there.
Yes. It's going to be very exciting. We're going to have so much fun. It includes so much, your airport transfers, all of these amazing tours and experiences, and we get to do it together, and it's going to be so special. And make sure you're following us on social media. We all have the same handles on both Instagram and TikTok. Mm-hmm. At I am Sadie Olson, at Goddess Hangs,
at Juliet.Piper.
And we're just so grateful for you. Thanks for being here while we manifest our dream lives. And we'll see you next week.
We'll see you next week. Thank you for everything.
Bye.
Bye. Real magic.
Real magic.